Hey, welcome back. This is Radio Free Gaming Presents This Week in Defunct Games. In case you missed the first 15 minutes of our show, we just got done talking with Miyamoto. It was a great find to have him on. And,
you know, I think it's really great that he actually learned English just for us.
Wow, that was really awesome. My name is Cyril Lachelle. We're here with, of course, the co-host, Wes Grogan, who is always on. So, how's it going, Wes? That was a pretty good interview, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, I really enjoyed that. Finding out about Super Mario Galaxy and then finding out that he's also going to be on the Xbox Live Arcade. I mean, that's amazing. I didn't see it coming.
Absolutely. And those games that he announced. I mean, who would have thought that he would have three brand new IPs that he was going to announce right here on Radio Free Gaming?
Oh, I know. I mean, who would have thought of a game like Zetroid? You know, I didn't see that. So it should be really cool.
And that 3D Kid Icarus. How can you go wrong with a 3D Kid
Icarus? Oh, well, you know, and having him guest star in the upcoming Knight sequel. I mean, it's gonna be incredible.
That's right. And I'm excited to see him as a playable character in that Super Smash Bros. Brawl. That's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I know. I never thought that Miyamoto would actually take into the fight himself. But now you can see Miyamoto in Smash Bros.
All right, so if you missed the first few minutes, don't worry, because we still have a wonderful show lined up for you today. We have a bunch of virtual console games. We have the 100th virtual console game to talk about. We have some predictions to make. We have some retro news. And, of course, Wes is going to, as always, talk about his upcoming show, which we'll learn more about in the second half of our program.
And I'll continue to act like people care about it.
Yeah, so we'll... we don't have a lot of retro news to get to this week, but I do want to get to the one thing that happened this week, which was that SNK Playmore announced that they would be releasing a Fatal Fury box set. It's called Fatal Fury Battle Archives Volume 1, and I'm not sure if that means that there's going to be a lot more of these fighting collections or if Volume 2 will just be more Fatal Fury games, but... I'm pretty excited about this. The game itself will feature, well, I think, only four games. I think it's only Fatal Fury 1, 2, 3, and Fatal Fury Special. None of the really good Fatal Fury games, as far as I'm concerned. But
that leaves, like, what, 25 more of them still be released?
Yeah, well, at least it's not like King of Fighters, where...
where 2001 it's only... A and 2001 B.
Oh, my goodness, yeah, And at least they're not releasing them solo like they used to. That was...
Yeah.
I don't know how many of those Xbox games that are just one disc, but...
Oh, I know. Yeah, and it takes up, like, you know, a tenth of it.
But I think this is good news, though, because we've already had the Art of Fighting collection, which came out a couple of weeks ago. We have Fatal Fury, which is coming out soon. I'm sure they'll do, you know, the King of the Fighters, even though we make fun of it. But I'm thinking here that it's not going to be long, if they keep on this rate, it's not going to be long before they actually give us the one thing I really want, which is the Samurai Showdown collection.
No, that would be nice.
And I figure that they can probably do the whole thing with Samurai Showdown. Even if they just do Samurai Showdown 1 and 2, I would still be happy. Because I don't like 3 and 4, but...
Well, I mean, 5 is pretty good, though.
But they've already released 5. They released 5 on the Xbox. And that game's kind of broken.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, they could fix it and then release 1, 2, and 5.
Yeah.
You know, they could do like Rocky and pretend 3 and 4 never happened.
Exactly. No, that's not a bad idea, but... I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I never liked Samurai Showdown 3 and 4, and I never could put my finger on what it was about it that I didn't like.
I think a lot of it's just the fact that it was so unique with 1 and 2, and they forgot about a lot of that. It became a fighter with 3 and 4. I mean, it just became very standard.
No, you're absolutely right with that. I'm just, I don't know. I'd also like to see the last Blade series come out, and there's only two of those games, so... I mean, just get...
Probably be a very small box.
Well, they already put those on the Dreamcast, so they might as well just port them to the... And I'm not sure if Fatal Fury, the Battle Archives, if that's going to have that's going to be on the Wii and PSP also. But so far, I think it's only on the PlayStation 2. But I imagine we'd probably see them on other systems.
Well, when I get the downloadable version of a Twinkle Star Sprite, I'll be happy. That's the one I'm really waiting for.
I bet that's a hard game to get your friends to play.
It's a puzzler and a shoot-em-up, and look, cute graphics.
You'd probably have an easier time getting them to play Barbie Horse Adventure.
Probably, yeah. At least then they definitely know what they're getting into.
All right.
Unless horses are cool.
Horses are cool. Horse armor, expensive horse armor is even cooler, though.
You know, they should have had that for Barbie Horse Adventure. Downloadable horse content.
Exactly, for like 400 Microsoft points.
Yeah, look what they missed out on.
Yeah, that's... all right. Well, when we come back, we're going to have... we're going to talk all about this week's Virtual Console games, as well as the one retro game that came out this week on the Xbox Live Arcade. So we'll be back in just 1 second. At least one of us is back.
I'm with you.
Okay, my name is Zero Lachelle, and this is Wes. And anyway, this is This Week in Defunct Games. And so, of course, we have to talk about this week's retro games, which there were four Virtual Console games that actually added up to the 100th Virtual Console game. Any thoughts on the fact that there are now 100 Virtual Console games, Wes?
Yeah, I was really surprised that they wanted Mylon Secret Castle to be the 100th game. I mean,
of course, that's not the game that they promoted as the 100th. They promoted Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link, or as we all know it, as the shitty Zelda game, to be the 100th game. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But I'm glad to see that they're up to 100. Obviously, there are a lot of games that I would like to see, but I think they've done a pretty good job so far. I'm completely perplexed with a lot of the games that they've released. But serious, I mean, you know, soccer. Are they,
I know. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. There are so many that they could have released, but I mean, we've gotten some real gems. I mean, ActRaiser is amazing, and of course, Gunstar Heroes and.
There aren't nearly enough people that have played ActRaiser, so the fact that they were that is a huge plus.
Absolutely. ActRaiser is an amazing game, and, it, you know, $8 isn't a bad price, even though you can probably pick it up used for $5, if any place actually sold Super Nintendo games anymore.
Well, there is that, but I'm telling you, I'm not going to be happy until they come out with, like, Donkey Kong 64.
Oh, I'm sure that's on the way. But that's not a good game either, though. That's a terrible game. Those Donkey Kong games are bad. I mean, I like the original Donkey Kong, but like last week the Donkey Kong Country 2 came out, and I never liked those games for whatever reason. I don't know.
But the Donkey Kong on the Game Boy was really nice. Like Donkey Kong 94, I think it was, or whatever.
Oh, that's the one that used the Game Boy Color thing?
Yeah, the 100 levels and...
Super Game Boy thing that you could plug into your Super Nintendo?
Yeah, it's actually one of the ones that they used to hype the Super Game Boy.
Yeah, absolutely, I remember that.
That game was great.
Yeah, because that was, you know, that was aping, no pun intended, on the old, the old games, and...
Yeah, they just added, like, a backflip and stuff like that to it.
Yeah, a backflip, I guess I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah. You could fly all over the place, just jump all over the place.
Wow.
You didn't even have to use ladders. You could just, like, hop up to the next one.
Wow.
It cut something away, actually.
Yeah, God, I have to go back and play that again.
Yeah, you could walk around on your hands and kick barrels away. It was fun.
So, anyway, this week we had two kind of bad games. We had a couple of okay games, and then there was Pac-Man. So I guess we should start with Mylon's Secret Castle, which isn't that much of a secret because I found it as soon as I loaded it up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you had to find the castle or anything, or it was invisible or something, but Mylon's Secret Castle is known because it's really tough. It's really unfair also, because you can go through like the first couple of levels and not even understand what you're supposed to be doing. You blow bubbles or shoot bubbles or something. Bubbles come out of you in some way or another. And you kill enemies. The enemies attack. You can shoot the bubbles all around to try to find secret places. But that's what you have to do, is because you can't actually get through the game unless you find these secret areas, which a lot of them you kind of have to be lucky to find.
Yeah.
And
not intuitive.
No, not at all. And I definitely don't understand what they were thinking with this one. I remember liking this back in the day. And when I say back in the day, I mean 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But I was also 9.
Well, that's forgivable then. I think a lot of people are misunderstanding what the title is. And I think that apostrophe S is throwing everybody off, because that's a typo. It's three specific phrases. There's Mylon, who's the character.
Right.
There's Secret, which the secret is, what's the point?
Yes.
And
yes.
Then there's Castle, because it has a castle in it.
I think you're probably right about that. Though, as silly as that name is, it has nothing on the Japanese sequel, which was called Mylon's Heart Pounding Great Adventure, which is one of the greatest 8-bit names of all time.
So, who was the genius that wanted to make a sequel to this game in the first place?
Not just a sequel, but a heart pounding great adventure.
With, like, 8 words in the title.
And a comma. You don't see that enough.
No, there aren't nearly enough commas. I mean, the colon's totally overdone. Let's switch in some commas, man. You know, we need some juxtapositions here.
You know what's cool about Mylon, though, is that, and a lot of people don't know this, is that he made a cameo in the Saturn version of Bomberman.
How depressing is that?
And, of course, unfortunately, it couldn't have been lined up where we'd actually be able to talk about Bomberman this week for the Xbox Live Arcade, but whatever.
I think anything Bomberman related to the 360 should immediately be burned just because put out.
Have you seen the new Bomberman?
The Act Zero?
No. That's the old Bomberman now. No, the Xbox Live Arcade one.
No,
the
I haven't.
One
seen
that's basically a remake of Bomberman 93.
Well, that's a good one to remake.
Yeah, it's 8 players. It's all online. You can customize everything. It's a lot of fun.
Well, okay, I'll keep my mind open on that one. Then.
Yeah, I'm hoping that one's only 400 points and not the full 800. But I have 100.
I've got to tell you, with 3 of these 4 virtual console releases, I really have to ask myself, who is the guy that said, you know what the virtual console really needs? It needs these games.
Yeah, it needs Mylon's Secret Castle.
Then it'll be complete.
You know what else it needs? It also needs Toe Jam and Earl in Panic on Funkatron.
Funkutron. I had that correct.
No, Funkotron.
They told me that it was a typo too, but, you know.
Who's they?
Well, it was this drunken homeless guy. And I was chatting with him just because I had nothing better to do. And he's like, you know, Ashley, it's supposed to be Funkutron, but last time I said that, they fired me. It was very sad.
No, it's Funkatron.
Yeah.
And so this is a sequel, of course, to the original Toe Jam and Earl, which when it came out was kind of a 3/4 overhead perspective sort of game where you kind of went around on these crazy planets and found treasure. And it seemed all random. I think that was the big thing at the time, that it was all really random.
Yeah, these games came out during the Kolinsky era of Sega, where they were really focusing on giving Sega the attitude.
Yes.
They were bringing in the college students And this was one of them. I guess they figured that this really related to a more adult sense of humor.
Right, but this one is interesting because it's not overhead anymore. It's a 2D game, and that's all fine. And it's still a good, like, it's a fun two-player game. But the perspective's really bizarre, and everything, it to me, it feels floaty. And I think that's my problem with it, is that the characters just feel like, you know, I guess it's in space already, but it feels like everything is slow, and it's very floaty, and it's I don't know, it's not as interesting as the original one was, as far as I can tell.
Well, I think it was an interesting time for sequels anyway. And they just, so many times it lost something in translation, like ActRaiser 2 lost everything that was all about ActRaiser 1, and
yeah, they completely cut out the simulation out of that.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, a lot of times they were trying to prevent from just repeating, and a lot of times it just didn't translate well. Like,
yeah.
Toe Jam and Earl was great when it wasn't a 2D side-scroller. You know, once they turned it into that, you know, that flat plane, then they just lost everything that made the first one cool.
Yeah, I agree completely. And then, but this one is the one that introduced, as far as I can remember, this was the game that introduced the Funkoponymous, which was later, would be later referenced in Toe Jam and Earl 3, that Xbox game that nobody bought.
You know, I totally forgot about the Funkoponymous.
Yeah. Did you ever play the Xbox Toe Jam and Earl 3?
It's on my list of things to do. No, really, it is.
Oh, I got that game to review a long time ago. I was shocked by that, and I mean it goes back to the original game, which is cool. But
yeah, I'm not opposed to it. I just Toe Jam and Earl never really spoke to me. It was like, you know, on the same level as Booger Man, a pick and flick adventure.
Yeah,
you know.
It seemed like they were going. They wanted to be like what Howard Stern was doing, but they couldn't get away with the sexual stuff. So they just boiled it down to bodily fluids and stuff like that.
Yeah, it just wasn't the Earthworm Jim kind of humor that I preferred for that time. So
yeah, no, Earthworm Jim was a really great game, and those
yeah. Where are those in the Virtual Console?
Yeah, I'm actually a little surprised now that Dave Perry is off doing some other stuff, and I mean, there's a new Earthworm Jim game coming out.
I know.
So that PSP one. So.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that with the original team too?
I think there might be one person that was there.
Yeah, the intern.
It's definitely being done by new people.
Yeah. Well, so was Earthworm Jim 3D.
Yeah, well, this one, though, I mean, it's been, I guess, more than a year since I played it, because it was at last year's E3, but, man, the new one is definitely a lot better than the 3D one was.
Cool. So, okay, I'm out of things to say about Toe Jam.
All right, well...
Other than I don't like it.
The 99th game, or a virtual console game, is apparently Dead Moon, which is a very descriptive name, and coincidentally not the band from Portland.
Actually, when you do the search in Wikipedia, the Portland band is the first one that comes up.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, that's probably because they're better than the TurboGrafx-16 game was.
A lot of things are.
Yeah, this is not a very good shooter.
You know, TurboGrafx-16 was a haven for shooters.
Yeah, there are a lot of good ones.
If you want to shoot them up, if you want a good one, especially for this time period, then this is the place to go. But this is not it. I mean, it's so incredibly cookie cutter. It's not even funny. You know, you have the basic little power ups that you get. You know, it's not even that incredibly challenging, if I remember correctly.
No, not at all. You can get hit a couple of times before you die.
Yeah, gee, that's okay.
No, I wasn't real impressed with that, but I'll be honest with you. I remembered the name, and I remembered playing it years ago, but I didn't remember when I heard that it was coming. I didn't remember what it was, and even after I started playing like the first couple levels, I just didn't remember it until I got to the bosses. And that's kind of when I started remembering what it was. But I don't know. It wasn't that. I mean, there are definitely a lot of other shooters that they should have picked before doing Dead Moon. But
yeah, there's a long line of truly incredible shooters that they could bring out that would blow people away.
Yeah, the problem I have is that I wonder if the really great shooters on the Turbo, which you know, like the Gates of Thunder,
yeah,
stuff like Lord that. Those were CD games, though, so I wonder if those, if we'll ever actually see those on the Virtual Console, because those were amazing.
Yeah, but they took up a lot of room too.
Right, yep. But I mean, you can probably. It would take some work, I assume. You couldn't just do it with the emulation, but they'd have to change some of the audio to being, you know, in the different format and do a lot of condensing. But I mean, you could probably get it in under the size of a Super or of a Nintendo 64 ROM. So.
Yeah, but you're forgetting too that the whole thing that Nintendo loves about the Virtual Console is they don't have to change a damn thing.
Right, right. And that going back to Toe Jam and Earl, that's one of the problems I have with it, is that it's a fun two-player game, but it would have been better if we could have played the thing online with a friend.
Yeah, and that's going to come out more and more often as more and more Virtual Console games come out.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to get more people where they said, oh, I played this with my friend all the time, I wish I still could.
Exactly.
You know, even though the friend's in, like, Hong Kong getting, you know, cheap hookers now.
Well, then they don't need Toe Jam and Earl.
Well, they probably already got the Toe Jam covered, actually, at that point, yeah.
All right, so we covered Mylons, we've covered Toe Jam, we've covered Dead Moon. So I guess that leaves Zelda 2, which I think you and I are going to disagree on. In case you don't know what Zelda 2, the Adventure of Link... Adventures of Link? Anyway, in case
adventure.
You don't know... Okay.
Yeah, there's only one adventure.
Okay. In case you don't know what Zelda 2 is, then take everything that you loved about the original Zelda game and throw it out the window, because this is a more of a side-scrolling game, and it has these random battles that are no fun, and it's
now that's the first place where I disagree with you. They're not completely random battles.
Well, no, you can see them on the overhead map, and
you just can't get away from them.
Right, you do have an overhead map, so it does share that with the original Zelda. But you can't do anything on it. You can't slash. You can't, you know, it's when you see an enemy, you can either run away from it, which is hard to do because they're faster than you, or you can just take it on, and then you get warped into this weird side-scrolling mission where, you know, you're killing I don't know what they were, but you're killing, you know, little blobs, or you're killing like, I don't know, wolf people.
I'm not totally sure what most of them are. They seem to be strange pig creatures sometimes.
Yeah. And you know, and you have the world's shortest sword. I mean, you might as well take a pencil into battle, because
projects in a strangely erotic way as well.
Yeah. And you know, it does a couple of things right. I mean, I like the way that the shield shields you. I like the fact that in the first level, or in the first town, there's a guy named Error.
Yeah, I am Error. Oh yeah.
That's some dandy writing. And I like the fact that the first area is called Parappa. I was kind of looking around for a little dog who raps to onions.
Yeah, a little flat, you know, two-dimensional dog. Yeah, that would have been cool.
That would have been awesome.
You're forgetting about the fact also that Link wears green.
Right.
So he keeps that as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a terrible game. I don't think it holds up as well as the other Zelda games.
You know, I've been playing through it again in the past few days, and I go back to it every now and then, and there are certain aspects of it that still do, like, you know, the character growth and stuff like that, but...
This one added sort of the experience points, sort of thing, where, you know, every time you kill an enemy, you get two or three experience, and then when you get to a certain amount, you can upgrade various things, like how much life you have, how much magic you have, your strength and whatnot. And
which
that's all pretty cool.
Yeah, but you don't get to control which one goes up.
No. It seems kind of unwieldy.
Yeah. It was a lot of good ideas. They didn't follow through with it. It didn't get received very well. And again, this came out in the same year that Super Mario Bros. 2 came out here in the U.S. So it was not the year for traditional sequels.
No, not at all. Not that Super Mario Bros. 2 was even really a Super Mario Bros. Game.
Well, Doki Doki Panic, yeah.
I like that they kept the music from Doki Doki Planet.
Panic. Oh, you're going to hear about that one.
I know. Doki Doki Panic. You know, you say some of these things fast and they come out wrong. So,
or they just sound dumb.
But you actually recommend Zelda 2 for people? You think it's a good $5 purchase?
I think before people complain about it, they should try it. And I do think it's a $5 purchase. I mean, there's still hours worth of gameplay in it.
Yeah.
Especially for somebody that hasn't played it before. I mean, you're going to get the NES-level storyline. You know, return the crystal, save the princess. You're not going to get a lot of development, but...
Right.
There's a lot of upgrading. You gain the combat moves. You gain the powers. You gain the magic. You find all these different towns. You have the swamps. You have the forest. All of that. So,
they reference Santa Claus.
Where do they do that?
Well, they tell you in one of the towns to... something about Santa Claus hinting that you should go down the chimney.
Oh, I totally forgot about that, yeah. And there's the town where, like, half of the people are working for Ganon, and, you know, they try and kill you.
Yeah.
Once you talk to them, that's always fun.
And this is an interesting one, too, because you have lives. Like, you have, like, three lives, and if you die, you know, you just get warped back to the beginning of the game, if you continue.
Yeah, and there's, like, no damn way to get more lives.
Right.
When you're out, you're out. So when you're in the castle and you're down to that last life, you know you're going to be doing a lot of walking if you screw up. So, yeah, I really love that aspect of it. I thought they did a good job with that.
I want to disagree with you, though. I don't recommend it. I think that there are obviously better Zelda games out there, but I just think there are better adventure games in general. I mean, I don't think that people should choose this over... any of the Zelda games currently on there, or, you know, Beyond Oasis, things like that. I mean, this has the name recognition, but I don't understand why they chose this and not something else.
Well, I think it was just early on in the industry, and you've got to remember that Zelda, there was only one game. They didn't know what made Zelda so good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, you look at the cartoon, that'll be immediately obvious to you.
Yeah.
You know, when you get into that, excuse me, princess. I mean, they didn't know what they were doing. So they thought that they were making the proper sequel to it.
They weren't.
Yeah. No, they weren't. I completely agree with you on that.
No, but this is a really bad game.
I don't know. You know, the best thing that I can do is tell people to, you know, I don't know. There are ways to play it online. Try it first.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. I think that it's one of those games, if you don't like it within the first, I don't know, hour, you're not going to like the rest of it.
Yeah, it's more of the same.
Yeah. All right, so that's the 100th Virtual Console game. So also this week, we saw the release of a Xbox Live Arcade game that kind of surprised me. I was expecting Prince of Persia, which I guess we're getting next week. I was expecting, you know, maybe Bomberman or one of those, but no, what we got this week, probably because it was the big, they had the big Pac-Man tournament, was that something called Pac-Man Champion Edition or Championship Edition?
Woohoo, Pac-Man!
And it's 800 points, so it's $10 for Pac-Man. And this marks, I think, what, the third version of Pac-Man that's now on the Xbox Live Arcade?
Yeah, and for the price of Pac-Man Championship Edition, you can get Pac-Man and Ms. Pac-Man.
Yeah. Ms. Pac-Man's a much better game in general, but... I mean, what they're saying about this one, and before we get into all the other stuff, is that you actually get the original Pac-Man with it. And that's fine, but a lot of us have already bought the original Pac-Man.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't exactly help much.
No, not at all.
Yeah. It definitely doesn't help with the argument. And, you know, they talk about how the game design and the levels have changed, but I don't think that it's changed for the better, personally.
Yeah, so you had a chance to sit down with this, as did I. And what did you think of this game?
Honestly, I hate it. Everything that made Pac-Man what it was is gone. The simplicity of the game where you just sit down and you start playing. And, you know, you play until you're done, which was rare for an arcade game at that time anyway, because it was all about checking the quarters. And if you were good, you know, one quarter would do you for a long time. Here, every single freaking game mode has a timer on it.
Yeah.
Drives me insane.
I definitely agree with that.
You could be doing great, you could be flying your way through it, and still, 10 minutes is up, and it just stops. What the hell is this?
And what did you think of the new HD graphics?
They were all right.
They have some nice effects on there.
Yeah, it felt like little neon tubes glowing, and it was very trippy and all of that. They obviously played a lot of Geometry Wars while they were designing it.
Yeah.
You know, you got the little floaty numbers as you eat the dots, and I mean, the graphics were nice, and that's great. It would have been great if we had gotten that when they put out, Pac-Man.
Maybe an enhanced version of Pac-Man to go along with it, kind of like how a lot of the retro games, like that Jetpack Refueled, has the original version and the new school version.
Yeah, something like that would have been nice. But to me, it's a waste of points. It screws with the gameplay. I want to like the idea of the maze growing as you go through the game. But I never get to see it realized because there's a timer.
Yeah. I agree with you completely. I have a problem, though, with the fact that they're charging. I guess my main problem is that they're charging 800 points for this.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, I like the idea. I have, a lot of people, a lot of purists don't like the fact that they're, that people release, or that these companies release these new versions of games. But I don't personally have a problem with that. I think that if they're handled well, that it could be a really good idea. I mean, I loved Jetpack Refueled. I loved the way that they handled that. But that was only 400 points, so that you could easily, jump in, have a new take on the game, and you had the classic version of the game also.
And
it was only $5, so it barely cost you anything. But with two other versions of Pac-Man already on the Xbox Live Arcade, I have to wonder if, do we really need another one for 800 points?
Oh, of course not. No. Especially not for double what the others were charged. Yeah. And it's not like they originally designed this for the pure point of making money. They designed it for the tournament.
Right, exactly. Which, I don't know, maybe... And Pac-Man seems like a bizarre game to have a tournament based around anyway.
Which is the whole reason why they had to redesign it, because everybody knows the seat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this would... I would almost think this would be worth it if they had released that Pac-Man Versus thing that they did for the Game Boy Advance and GameCube.
Yeah. No, that would have been great.
Where, especially online, where, three or four people played the ghosts, and then somebody played Pac-Man.
Yeah, it's begging to be done online.
I don't know why they didn't do that. That would have been perfect for it. But I don't know.
Well, I think ultimately it goes back to the point that for some reason, I think it's probably tax purposes, Bandai doesn't actually want to make any money. So they're trying to avoid it every possible opportunity. So any good variation of Pac-Man, they don't want to put out.
Is it Namco the one putting out Pac-Man?
Bandai Namco, yeah.
Bandai Namco, right, of course. I should remember that. I always think of them still as just Namco.
Yeah, so now I'm just waiting for the Final Fantasy II Championship Edition.
Well, you're not going to have to wait long, because the PSP one's coming out here in July.
God, how many remakes are they going to do at this point?
I mean, I'll admit that the Final Fantasy I remake on the PSP is pretty good. The graphics are nice. I like what they've done with it. But I mean, if anything, it's just holding you over for the real meal, which is going to be Final Fantasy Tactics later on this fall.
Yeah, so with this Final Fantasy I remake, they actually added a story to it this time? No?
Yeah, kind of. There's some cinemas, there's some better graphics. It's been retranslated to a certain extent. The music's obviously better.
So that's a no.
I mean, it's Final Fantasy One.
Yeah, but, and that's why I wonder if they're gonna have to remake. Why they have to remake it so many times? I mean,
well,
at least you did on the GBA, you got both of them.
Yeah, but you only wanted the first one.
That's true. Well, my whole question comes back to this, and it seems like we're going off topic, but maybe not.
Off topic.
Is it still retro if you remake it and you add all of this stuff to it?
I think it is, because I mean is the new game retro? I mean, is it's this Pac-Man game retro. Yeah, because it's based on an old retro game.
Yeah.
Just like, I mean, we, you know, maybe the new Ninja Gaiden, for example. Maybe that's not retro, even though it's a sequel of some sort to the original Ninja Gaiden. But, you know, it's also a rebirth. So they're not, I mean, if they had done it like the old school ones where it was still 2D, then it would probably be more relevant. But now that it's 3D and it's sort of the rebirth of the series, I think that means that's not retro. But this Pac-Man is still retro because it's still trying to do the same thing that the original one did. And it's based on that sort of that old canon.
Yeah, I could agree with that. I could agree with that. And I think the one thing that Live Arcade is really making sure to do right is that even with the enhanced graphics, you always have the option to go back to the original.
Yeah, that's something that the PlayStation 3 versions could do that they aren't.
Yeah, it'd be. I mean, you can look at it and say, you know, how did I ever play this?
Yeah.
You know? Which is a fair question with some of them, with the graphics. I mean, we really used our imagination back then. You know, you look at, like, you know, Jetpack with the original. And, oh, look, that blob is firing at that blob.
Yeah, well, I think for Jetpack, that's nice because I never played the original Jetpack.
Oh.
That's one of those games that wasn't big in the U.S., and so that wasn't part of my childhood. So I look back at it now, and I don't have that history, but I can admire it as a good game. And then prefer to play the new version of it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
All right. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up this part, the Virtual Console and Xbox Live Arcade part of the show. When we come back, we are going to talk with Wes about an article he has coming out tomorrow. It's going to be a brand new feature here on Defunct Games, and it's going to be worth listening to. So. You just stick around. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes, and we'll talk to Wes about some history. So
exciting stuff.
Stick around. And we're back. I want to thank you. I want to thank everybody for sticking with us through our first two segments. Now we're going to actually talk about something that we've never done before. This is
where we're doing the automobile reviews.
Yes, this is Car Chat.
Oh, good.
Instead we're going to talk about a brand new show that's going to be debuting tomorrow, that's Friday, on Defunct Games. And it's going to be called, well, actually, before we actually get into what it's about, this is a history lesson show. It's a brief, like one or two page article about some segment of our industry's history. And now, we had three names for this thing, and then we put it out to all the Defunct Game staffers, to some friends, some family. We let everybody vote on what they thought the best name was. And the three finalists were Defunct Games Totally Biased History, Gaming History X, and A Brief History of Gaming. And after about half a week of voting, I am proud to announce that we have a name for the brand new show that's going to debut tomorrow. And that name is. You want to take a history? You want to take a guess, Wes?
Gaming History X.
It is not Gaming History X. It is a brief history of gaming.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So that is the brand new show. We're gonna hit that boat with some wine or champagne or whatever it is, and
be channeling Stephen Hawkins for this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it makes sense because these are brief episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not. I mean, a lot of the history lessons that you read on the internet are several pages at most. These are pretty much going to be one or two pages.
And they're going to be fun. I hope.
Yeah, you hope because you're the one writing them.
Yeah.
So if they're not fun, you can send Wes all of the email you want.
And you know what? Please do. I want them to be entertaining and interesting.
Yeah, and they're funny. I've read the first two episodes. The first one, which will debut, like I said, tomorrow, and we'll talk a little bit about that today. Whet your appetite. The first episode, which we don't have a name for the actual episode yet. I guess we'll do that in the next 24 hours. That's not going up for committee.
Bare necessity.
So the first episode has to do with the origins of the video game industry, which, in case you don't know, started with Ralph Baer. So, Wes, why don't you start us off and explain a little bit about what your article is about and what you hope to do with this article?
Well, ultimately, a lot of people like to talk about the history of video games, but where do you even start with it? You could go as far back as 1947.
I started with the PlayStation.
Wow. There were
not
no
the
games.
PlayStation 1, but the PlayStation 2, because that's the beginning of it. Polygon Gaming is where it all started. All right,
so you think there were no games before Final Fantasy X? That's great.
Is there even a game called Final Fantasy X? I thought that was Final Fantasy X.
Well, you know, I like to go pornographic with my
The X rating was not pornographic.
Oh.
That's triple X.
Oh, right. See, I get that confused all the time.
Yeah, everyone else does too. All right.
Where do you start with it? You could go back to 1947 and find people, you know, playing Pong on their oscilloscope. Ralph Baer was really the first one to put video games on television. So, to me, that's really where it starts. So he designed the system, it was known as the Brown Box, which he ended up selling to Magnavox to sell as the Odyssey. And Nolan Bushnell, the creator of Chuck E. Cheese, didn't he do another company too?
Yeah, he had another restaurant, wasn't it like Future 2000 or something like that?
Yeah, and he had this game company, what, Atari?
Yes. It started for like $600.
So he rode around the conveyor belts in a box, but, you know, go pig. But yeah, he stole all of Baer's ideas and turned himself into the father of video games. And it's just kind of the story about how the two interacted and, you know, basically how we got on the road to be where we are today. Where, you know, all of the significant players of the time, Magnavox, Atari, none of them are really in the business anymore. You know, certainly not the way that they were. So it's just kind of interesting.
I don't know. That Jaguar, that was...
Oh, you know, hey, it's all about the number pad. Which, actually, that was by Tramiel.
Yes, Sam Tramiel.
Was Commodore 64.
Yeah. That's a whole other episode, isn't it?
Yeah, there are plenty to go around.
Oh, the interviews with Sam Tramiel are just classic.
Well, you have to have the bleep button ready. The man knew a few cuss words, and he wasn't afraid to use them.
Well, this is the internet, so we can use all the fucking language we want to.
Well, there you go. God bless.
So now, from what I've read and what I understand, Ralph Baer isn't real happy with Nolan Bushnell.
No. For the first decade or so, Nolan Bushnell went around proudly calling himself the father of video games. And... at one point, after a court battle or something like that, see, Bushnell, the man worked in the carnival as a barker. You know, it was his job to get you over there to play the rigged game. So he got really good at it. He was really one of the best salesmen in the industry. And he even managed to get Magnavox to work as Atari's enforcers. After stealing the technology from Magnavox, he managed to make it where Magnavox went after anybody else that stole from them, which got rid of all of his competitors. And the whole time he's going around saying, yeah, I'm the guy who did all of this. Al Alcorn did a wonderful job creating the game of Pong, and Bushnell stole all the credit from him, too.
Yeah.
It's just what Bushnell did. But it wasn't until, 15 years later, really, that the story really got out of what Ralph Baer did. And it's fascinating because Ralph Baer is an engineer at heart. I mean, he has everything documented. You know, he can show you the original notes he did sitting at the bus stop in 1966. And Bushnell, if he remembers what he had to eat that morning, he's doing great. So it's just really interesting to see the comparisons between the two. I mean, without both of them, the gaming industry wouldn't be where it is. But
well, speaking of him not remembering what he had for breakfast and whatnot, I mean, it's if you remember all those old stories about Atari back, in the 70s and maybe even early 80s, I mean, there are plenty of secretaries and people like that who would state that they could smell marijuana coming out of the air vents. And, there was definitely some drugs happening at that time. And,
well, it's pretty well documented at this point. There's not a lot of debate left. One of the investors that he was talking to at the time went to the new assembly plant and actually went in and got a contact high just from walking around. And, he went into the bathrooms and the floor was just covered in, joints.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much a given. And then you look at the fact that they made a breast simulator. And I mean, there had to be, drugs involved in some way, shape, or form.
Games, not war.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. But yeah, it was definitely, even Steve Jobs worked for Atari for a while. And I think there are a lot of people that aren't aware of that, but that's where he got his idea for his corporate culture that he pushed for so long, the jeans and the t-shirt approach.
Exactly. And he's a great speaker.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely is. And he can push a product on anybody.
Yeah. Even ones that aren't maybe not as good as people think they are.
Yeah. Well, the other interesting thing about Bushnell is that he left right before it got really huge.
Right.
He was there for the Pong arcade and for the Pong home games. But he left right before the 2600 came out. So, a lot of the decisions where it all fell apart, nothing to do with him.
Yeah,
exactly. I suspect a lot of that is just coincidence. He would have just found a different way to run it down. Because cheese turned up so well.
Well, to be fair, Chuck E. Cheese is still around, whereas people could care less about Atari.
Right after they got bought out by Showbiz, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but, Atari, which obviously has gone through a couple of different people owning it.
It got split in half, and both sides traded all around.
Yeah. And, of course, what have they done recently? I mean, I guess they bought Shiny. And they did those Matrix games. Wow.
We won't talk.
Yeah, I mean, they do have, like I said, like we brought up earlier, they have that Earthworm Jim game coming out for the PSP. They have, Dungeons & Dragons Tactics, which is, frankly, just amazing. That's an upcoming PSP game.
A lot of it is just that they've dialed themselves back.
Yeah.
Which I think they needed to. After Williams bought the name for the arcade, they were like, putting Atari on everything.
It meant something, though, at that time.
Yeah, but it also got overexposed. So the thing that keeps the name of Atari meaning something is the fact that every now and then it'll go back into the background again.
Yeah,
It's kind of the time for that right now.
So Ralph Baer, should we feel bad that he isn't considered the grandfather of video games?
The man's doing fine. Have you ever played that electronic handheld game, Simon?
Of course.
Yeah, that was him.
Yeah.
You remember in the 80s, those interactive videotapes?
Yep.
Yeah, that was him.
Did he do the Pocket Fisherman?
No.
Oh, that was Ron Popeil.
Yeah, he didn't do the Pocket Fisherman, but I'm sure he'd appreciate you trying to give him the credit.
He created the HDTV, and maybe not.
No, but no, he's done fine for himself. He recently put out a book, which, to a geeky historian like me, it's actually interesting, called "The Video Games in the Beginning," and it shows a lot of his documents and some of the early prototypes and stuff that he designed. And that helped him get the word out a lot, just in, you know, clarifying the record, which is what he's concerned with more than anything. I'd love to see a pay-per-view fight between him and, you know, Bushnell, but I don't think that's going to happen. Bear's like 80 now, so it probably wouldn't be that interesting anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that probably wouldn't be very interesting.
Well, to somebody like me, it would be. You know, oh, wow, look, he brought a gun.
Maybe, yeah, exactly. It had to be a duel.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know, maybe if it was the two of them versus Dustin Diamond or something, then...
No, well, that's, I mean, what isn't entertaining with Dustin Diamond?
His sex tape wasn't very interesting.
Well, I'm proud to say I haven't seen it. You know, I admit to the Pamela Anderson one, but I've not seen Dustin Diamond.
No, neither have I. Did you see the Paris Hilton one?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was rather boring, actually. I mean, apparently whoever she was with was not very good, but...
Well,
who
she's
am I to
not
judge?
Very interesting to begin with.
Well, that's true.
I'm sure she's boring her cellmate to tears right now as we speak.
Or whining him to death, one of the two. What's with all the dust in here? Yeah, I don't even pretend.
No, I know this isn't very retro, but I'll be honest with you. I have a Paris Hilton story, and if there's probably no better place to tell this than on a podcast while she's in jail. last year I was at E3 with another guy that works at Defunct Games, Patrick O'Connor, and he and I were standing playing. God, it was in the West Hall. No, it was in the South Hall. For all the people that know what that means. And,
yeah.
I don't know, we were playing, I don't know, it was something at, it was either the Koei booth, it was one of those booths. And then we noticed, as we looked over, there was just a ton of people standing around for something, and we wonder what the hell that could be. And so we walked over there, and it wasn't very far, it was like, you know, just a little ways away. We walked over there, and we saw that all these people were standing in line for Paris Hilton. Because she had this this video game that she had lended her name to.
Yeah.
It was like a mobile puzzle game that she had lent her name to.
Yeah, and, it's a Maps Bejeweled ripoff.
Right. And so she was supposed to be there at a certain time, but she got there like a half hour late. And so everyone was standing around for a half hour waiting for her. I don't, you know why, but we got there, and we weren't standing in line, but we got there. We saw her walk in. We saw her, you know, walk up to the booth. We saw her thank everybody for coming, and then mention how proud she was to have this game, and then proceeded to get the name wrong.
Yeah, no, I heard about that.
Which was, and the name's right behind her. So
yeah, it takes real talent to pull that off.
And that's my Paris Hilton story, and so I can I can tell everybody that I have seen Paris Hilton. But not in a bad way.
Well, you know, when I was in Denver, I lived in Denver for a while, and it has a fairly decent-sized mall with several floors.
Sure.
And, at one point, I was leaning over the railing and looking down, and directly below me, like a floor down, was Roseanne Barr.
Oh, no. Well, she's hard to miss.
Yeah, and she was doing signings of her book at the time. This is like, what, 94, I think? And it occurred to me, as I was standing there looking down at her with nobody around me, I could totally spit on her and get away with it. Sadly,
that's something she would do, though.
No, absolutely. I figured the irony alone would make it worse.
She probably considers that a compliment.
Yeah, but, you know, I didn't do it. I regret it to this day. But, no, I just know that all of the photographers around the world are upset that they didn't manage to get Lindsay Lohan in the same cell as Paris Hilton.
Yeah. And Joe Francis.
Oh, yeah, that's your
Girls part. Gone Wild guy.
Oh, yeah. Get him in there. You got it made. Yeah, but
it's all these celebrities going to jail and rehab is so funny, and I know that's completely off topic, and I hate to do that, especially because we've been talking about Ralph Bear. But
well, if nothing else, we'll keep it for the the outtakes.
No, but it's he's Paris Hilton, and it's funny the celebrities you see in when you go down to E3, because I mean, it's not you see Batman.
Yeah.
Adam West, he was there. Michael Madsen, and then Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah, it's really a lot like a Who's What.
Right.
And you know?
So that's... I always thought that was really funny, but... Poor Paris Hilton. I don't know about... I don't know about that woman, that girl, that... Whatever she is.
For that reason alone, you'll miss E3 forever, huh?
I don't think it's going to be the same this year. I don't think there'll be, you know, all these celebrities. I don't think Robin Williams will be there.
Probably not, no. Unless he, you know, got a job with, like, you know, GameStop or something.
I don't think they're letting... Those people aren't being let in. It's all invite-only this year.
Really?
Yeah,
they're not even like the brick-and-mortars.
Not at all. They're only... they invited... Well, let's see. There were, 75,000 people that went last year, and they invited something like 3,000 people this year?
Oh, yeah.
And I have no idea how I got the invite. I mean, I have no idea. I know people that work for other really big magazines that didn't get an invite yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's nice of them. And from what I hear, it's people or the companies that are presenting games there that will be that voted on who comes. So, I guess I should be honored.
They probably meant to send it out to that other guy, Cyril, you know, Deschel.
Yeah, exactly. Like
that, you know, it didn't get there. But yeah, so
tell me back on Ralph Baer now, not just this episode. But we're going to be doing these. We're calling them a brief history of gaming. We're going to do these every 2 weeks, hopefully, and
every 2 weeks.
You don't think that's a good idea?
I thought every week.
Well, that's a bit much. I mean, we'll do these. We'll do these recap episodes. We'll do these. This week in Defund Game every week, but, I mean...
Well, that's fair. That's fine.
We don't want to give them too much history. Their heads will explode.
There is no such thing as too much history.
So we're gonna do... I mean, keep in mind that we only really have 3 days every week where we have real articles. We have, you know, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So that would... So that would, you know, if we had it every week, that would take us really down to only, you know, two episodes of random stuff. So
if you had too much, like, you know, real meat on your website, it totally ruined your reputation too.
It absolutely would. I mean, we have to throw in something else in there anyway, so maybe another commercial break or something. So then that will give you time to continue to write them, you know, every week.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, actually. And it'll give me a good backlog.
So we'll be doing these every other Friday starting this week and then 2 weeks from
Absolutely.
This Friday. And so tell us, just give us a short reason why, maybe not too short, why everybody should tune in tomorrow to Defunct Games and read your wonderful article.
Well, I think they should do it because I'm going to be getting the IP logs from you later on, and... You know, the only people whose houses that I don't go to kick the butt are people that show up on that log. So, I think, frankly, they should do it for fear of their own safety. Not for that. A lot of what happens now, not just with, you know, the Baer article, but things in the future, like, you know, lawsuits that happened before, rivalries that existed before, all of that defines what they're dealing with now. So, to understand what's going on with the industry, I think you really have to understand where it's been. And, you know, hopefully it'll be entertaining as well, so...
And I will vouch for that. I have read the first article, I've edited it, I have all but laid it out, and it is a wonderful little article. It's not too long, it's not too short, but you will actually probably learn something by the end of it if we haven't already told you everything that was important about the article in this last 30 minutes.
I think we left a sentence or two out, so... It should be fun.
And of course, we'll have Wes as the co-host every week, as long as he's not busy. And so we'll be talking about stuff. And then, and so like next week, we won't have a brief history of gaming to talk about, but we will have some other topic that we can talk about. And then, but the very next week after that, we'll talk about something else. And you already have that article done. I've already read it.
Yeah.
And we won't spoil what it is, but it's a good one. I think it's even better than tomorrow's article. But that doesn't mean that you should not read tomorrow's article.
Exactly. Yeah. And all I'll say about the one coming up after this one is that the Nintendo fanboys can feel free to get ready to send me the hate mail.
Yeah, just get ready, because it's you're going to start hating us.
Yeah, definitely. But you know what? History backs me up. I can't help that.
Yeah.
I wanted to call it totally biased history. So.
Well, I'm sorry that your name didn't work out. I put it up to vote, the parodies that wins out over defunct games, totally biased history.
Oh, definitely, definitely. So, yeah, I'm not opposed to it at all. I'm looking forward to doing it. It should be a fun trip.
Yeah.
And so, in the meantime, we'll just chat about whatever else that comes up.
Exactly. Well, I see that we're getting close to an hour. We got people outside looking to use the studio. So, when we come back,
we flipped you off, man.
Oh, that's not good. All right, well, we're gonna end it here. For all the people that are not listening to us on iTunes, expect a really brilliant interview that we have lined up with Jack Thompson. Anybody else that has it through the download service, I'm sorry, you're gonna miss that. But don't worry, we'll be back next week. If you have any questions or comments, I do suggest you send me an email. My email address is loser@defunctgames.com. That's loser@defunctgames.com. And no, that is not spelled with two O's. If you spell loser with two O's, then you are a loser. And of course, visit the website. And of course, visit the website, especially tomorrow, to see Wes's new article, A Brief History of Gaming. And that is, of course, defunctgames.com. That's defunctgames.com. For myself and Wes, I would like to thank you all for listening, for taking an hour out of your time. We'll be back next week at this very time with yet more This Week in Defunct Games. Thanks, and you have a good evening.
You guys take care.